Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, I'm Lauren.
I'm Ted.
Jade.
Susan.
And we're Book of Love.
Let's see. We got your 30-year anniversary of the debut album. We got four albums. We've got new songs. You were very different than other bands. You really weren't able to genre-fy yourselves. See, I've done the whole thing. We're done. There's nothing left.
I feel like we don't get asked about our musical process enough. Seriously.
Really? No, you would think that 80% of bloggers these days are like, so, how's the songwriting going?
Yeah, no, I don't. Maybe
wow.
What's wrong with you guys? Yeah, maybe I feel like it's more interesting than a PR person does. I find it interesting to hear artists talk about their process, how they make music.
So
I feel like we don't get asked that much.
Ted, I have a question for you. Okay. What's your process?
What's very interesting to Ted, it's what's interesting to him about other artists is their process and how they go about making music.
I feel like, actually in our genre, a lot of artists, I think, sometimes don't have the same musical integrity. People perceive them as not having the same musical integrity of other genres of rock and roll music. And so sometimes I feel it's not just us. It's like our genre sometimes gets like put into that.
We're an alternative band, and that's what we came out of. We came out of the post-punk scene. We just happened to pick up keyboards to play our music. We never really identified with being a synth-pop band.
Thank you for that. See, this is where I was leading.
Exactly. That's what people don't ask us.
But that's where I'm going. Because remember, you're
doing... Thank you, Susan.
No, thank you. But it's synthesizers. Gary Newman would say that synthesizers aren't evil, right? Synths at that time were a major instrument. They weren't a replacement for things that didn't exist. But go a step deeper with me about alternative, because back then it was called modern rock, back in the, right on K-Rock and all those stations.
We were more out of the post-punk scene, and we were part of the alternative movement, and with bands that we saw, like the Cure and the Smiths and all these bands that were starting out, even before that, when we saw who did we see at the beginning, B-52s, things like that, all those bands encouraged us to form a band because we were big music fans, and we were working with the instruments that we had and the instruments that we played, so we didn't decide exactly to become a synth.
Okay, well, the instruments we had were like Casios. So, like, we were like, and the band that those guys came from art school, where it was more performance oriented. And also, we liked music and liked pop music. And I think, like, the word pop is a dirty word, always has been, whether it meant commercial music or whatever. But I think it's funny that I didn't see any bands like when I was in the East Village and in art school. I didn't see three girls and a guy playing Casios. You know what I mean? So that's, first of all, that's not like anything else. And we were not a hit. You know, from the East Village, there was a lot of Live Skull and a lot of different whatever East Village genre bands back then, and we actually are a punk band, but nobody ever saw us that way.
But so, you've got Philadelphia and you've got School of Visual Arts. My dad went to Pratt. So what do you think it is? Why did you all not pursue art and suddenly land up here talking to me about music? What do you think?
Well, I think art school is about sensibilities. And I think that creating a band is about forming a sound and vision. And that's what we were interested in. That's what we did. So as art school, as students, we've always been interested in things visually and communicating. And it sort of was an easy step
to
make.
Yeah, and I think also that you're able to, things that you can express visually, you can with music and vice versa. And in where the time that we were, people were crossing over and doing lots of different things. No one was, you know, I don't know that, you know, you look at David Byrne, David Byrne's always been doing visuals, always, you know, so I don't, you have a vocabulary. They're just vocabularies and ways. And interestingly enough, before I met these guys, Jade and Susan were in a band with all girls at PCA, which I feel jealous of to this day, that they perform for the sheer, you know, they wrote songs, they made a spectacle out of, like, writing the song, you know, and made a performance and celebrated it, and everybody switched. They did, you know, they performed in wedding dresses. I mean, she has a Barbie case, you know, like, they're a crazy group of people.
So long distance at first, you didn't have tools like today. It's not like you could trade files. So what did you do? Send each other cassettes? How did you work together?
It's crazy. I mean, I like,
because it's very different today. You just, oh, I'm, well, I sent a file.
I don't think we're the only people that did this, but I seriously used to have two ghetto blasters and like record into one, and then play that one and play the instrument.
It's so Grandmaster Flash of you.
It was almost like, of course, I saw it as George Martin multi-tracking on a four-track because it was on cassette. It used to never play at the right speed, so by the time the song was finished, it was like two steps.
Every cassette
it was
deck
in a
was,
different.
Every so cassette
I Touch
was
Roses
wrong
was
speed.
Written like that. I
it's
Touch
so
Roses.
It's so true, though. So Ivan discovered you guys or found you guys, and then he submitted the tape. He submitted the tape to Seymour.
Okay, myth. Here's the answer. Here's the answer to the
Let's
myth question.
Let's get the story straight.
Lauren. Please. Lauren was the one who, like, discovered Ivan. She discovered him in the bar and said, here, listen to this.
Really?
We were all fans of Ivan. DJed on two nights at the Pyramid on a Sunday night, which was called Whispers for drag queen fans. And that was a recreation of a Southern disco. And Lady Bunny was the door, lovely door person there. And so that was a fun night. And both nights that Ivan did, he was a mud clubber. He did his homework, and he brought, like, area to the East Village, some of that music. Right. And so, yeah, we knew him. Yeah. So we knew him, and we had caught wind of the fact that he was establishing a relationship with Seymour. And so, yes, I gave him a demo tape and
cassette. To you, is new wave a, I don't want to say bad thing, but, you know, everything in the 80s at that time is now stamped, and it was new wave, right?
I think to me it was a little more slick. It was a different type of production, different types of singers. It had a different aesthetic. It was just a little more highly produced, and we kind of never really fit that mold.
Well, I also think with New Wave, it also didn't, like, the other emphasis that I think that doesn't get acknowledged is that, like, we get passed over for, like, simple songwriting, and basically that, I mean, I think simple songwriting is, like, a really special art form that's deceivingly looks really simple, but it's whatever. I'm being redundant, but I think it's different. Yeah. That's the genius of being able to find a vocabulary for yourself that's original and fresh and exciting. That's, you know, that you make, that, you know, it's a hybrid of two crazy things that, and you make it work, and you're, you know.
So let's get serious for a second, because you were East Village and Upper, you know, in East Side, and then over a little bit on to the west was Christopher Street, and a lot of dangerous things happening. And you definitely made a point of paying attention to what was going on during those times, didn't you? And particularly AIDS, obviously.
We addressed that in our song "Pretty Boys and Pretty Girls." I mean, all we really did, like, from when we started, is really pulled from our own musical,
and by the way, I'm trying to clear up things here, you can tell how I'm approaching this,
like, our own musical, like, instincts and like what was happening around us. And at that point, AIDS had really took a major foothold in our community, and we lost a lot of amazingly gifted and talented people, and it just felt like that was what our world was at that moment. And what we did as musicians is kind of reflected back our world. And that's what happened to be. Actually, I think Pretty Boys is specifically about that. But I think the uplifting and the positive message of Book of Love has that epidemic as the basis of all that. I hear Counting the Rosaries, I hear With a Little Love. They're all really come from that epidemic, like where they're like our way of saying, like, we're going to take this kind of this environment that we're in, this fearful environment that we're in, and we're going to try to turn it into something positive and beautiful if we can.
But then John Hughes at Rhino turns around and says, you know, it's time to take all of this stuff and put gloss on it after all these years. So how did that go down? How did that happen?
John came to one of our shows, and we had been thinking about the fact that we wanted to remaster our collection and go back. And remastering it just meant that we were able to take the tracks and just kind of update them with, like, the latest technology.
Beyond the boombox cassettes.
Beyond, exactly, and much more. And,
at the right speed.
And people have probably noticed that, like, a lot of the archive music that they have that's been mastered in all different eras and years kind of all sounds different in EQ and volume.
It really does.
And we wanted to go back to our you know, best tracks that we loved and just kind of give them a new spit and polish. And that's one thing I have to say. The mastering on this new collection, I think, is great.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah, and it was, like, done with the intent of keeping the vibe and the feel of the originals, but bringing them up to a new standard. And that's not easy to do, because everything is kind of dry cleaned and squashed nowadays to sound a certain way.
The same type of thing has been happening with the live show, is that we are constantly talking about how the equipment that we used, you know, like in the 90s and 80s and 90s, like, you know, but not only was it big and a lot more cumbersome, we now sound actually with smaller things and almost hardly anything to carry. We sound much closer to the records now. Even though we're not using the same technology, we're using newer technology but are now sounding closer to what we recorded.
We do a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread and songs by others in between.